Amen. Amen.
Just real quick, one thing, since they weren't here this morning, just
wanted to say congratulations to Casey and Allie on their engagement.
Casey and Allie, stand up and be acknowledged. They're getting ready, like so many others around here, getting ready to get hitched. So congratulations on your engagement. And also, we don't have Cole and Kaylee here, or we've got some of the ones that Macy and Jake are still here. But anyway, it's good to have y'all, Casey, and I appreciate you joining us in the choir tonight. Well, it's good to be saved. Amen, Brother Pastor? Well, God's good. I don't know, you mentioned an ordination service and the people get scattered. I don't understand it. But that's just the way it is. It's on them, ain't it, preacher?
Amen.
He was talking about Brother Tam, and Brother Feldman said he ain't always done what he should have anyway. But they're traveling this evening. But anyway, it's good to be back. Yadkin Valley, good to have you folks with us. I don't know who all's from Yadkin Valley and who's not, but so good to have each and every one of you here. If you're one of us, good to have Brother Jamie McGuire back. We just ordained him a few months ago and put him into the gospel ministry up at Prelier Baptist Church as the pastor. And I'm glad God's still calling men and putting them onto the field. And tonight we're here for the purpose of the ordination for Brother Scott. But the greater purpose is that we're going to worship the Lord. Even though this is a worship service, bless God, let's don't forget. Yeah, this is his house. It's his time. Brother Scott's his man for that church. But bless God, this is still God's house. And let's not forget that. It's an ordination charge. But bless God, it'll help me because it's helped me just trying to study through this and think about the charge that I would give unto you. And I told Brother Kenny, I said, boy, it's a simple message. And you know what your mama said? Where's your mama at? She's going to look at her trying to hide now. She said, are you trying to say my son's simple? And I said, well, yeah, it's a simple message for a simple man. And she said, you're just trying to keep him down here. And I said, no, I'm actually trying to get rid of him. Yeah, it's just not decent after you've left. But it is good to be saved. The choir, you sounded good tonight. I appreciate that. We just kind of forego the youth choir tonight since we've got be two preachers preaching. Brother Larry Key will be preaching the ordination charge back to Yadkin Valley Baptist Church. And I'll leave that work to him, and I'll let him tell what the relationship between the church and the pastor. But Brother Scott, the Lord laid upon my charge to be the one that would give you the charge to as a candidate for ordination. And before we do anything else, we're going to call the church into conference. If you don't know or not, you done been turned out. We turned you out this morning, brother. And we just hope that we get a move in a sec to put you back in sometime here in a little while as an ordained Baptist preacher. But Brother Scott is a blessing to me and his wife. And I tell you what, if there was a glitch in the system, if there was a fly in the ointment, it would have shown up by now. But even whenever you and Miss Lita are not here, your daughter's here, and she's faithful, and I appreciate that. And I believe, like I said, if there was a character flaw, if there was a glitch in his marriage, if there was a glitch in his home life, it would have shown itself by now. And we'll get the ordaining and the ordination report from Brother Paul here just a short time from now. Anybody got anything on the heart? God's good, ain't Brother Ryan?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all glad to be saved?
Amen.
Anybody got a word? Brother Jamie McGuire, before we go into the called conference for the purpose of ordaining Brother Scott, if we would just take it to the Lord in prayer, and we're just going to get right into this. I don't know how long Brother Larry's going to preach. He might be a couple hours, but he said no. But anyway, I'm nervous. I don't know why, but I am. We got a whole lot of things to pray about tonight. We've got people in the hospital, just got out of the hospital. Sister Sharon Call is now recovering at home, having a knee replacement surgery this week. And Brother Steve just saw you come in. And if I'm understanding, your mom had a heart cath and had one stent put in this afternoon. So you pray for Brother Steve's mama as she still recovers from that. And there's others that's on our heart tonight that we need to be praying for, especially all of our sick and shut in, and moreover, the lost. Let's pray for them. Brother Jamie. At this time, Calvary Baptist Church, let us consider ourselves seated church conference coming together to conduct the business of the ordination service to Brother Scott Wagner. And as it always is, it's my heart's desire and prayer that all fellowship one with another. And if there's been any disagreement among you, we'll pause for the grieved to speak. Silence to approve all members of fellowship one with another. And at this time, if we could get the ordination examination report from Brother Paul Jones, our church clerk. Brother Paul. Amen. You've heard the report from Brother Paul, and I'm telling you, it was not a gotcha session back there. Brother Scott just poured his heart out, told us about the time that he got saved and the call of God on his life to pastor and to preach the Word of God, now to eventually become a pastor. And if you've got your copy of God's Word, we're going to start out tonight. I'll be doing the ordination charge to the candidate, Brother Scott. And we'll start out in the book of Mark, chapter number 12 tonight. And there's so many places I could take you tonight in the Scriptures that would talk about a bishop or an elder or a pastor. And I'm not actually, it's a little bit different tonight. It is a simple charge to the to you, Brother Scott. It's just going to, I'm talking about so simple that when you're done and you're going to say, wow, that was very simple. But I'm telling you, for you right now to step down after this service is over with, and after you now will have been ordained to become the pastor of Yadkin Valley Baptist Church, it would be a disservice and a dishonor and a discredit for you to become the White House president. And I'm telling you, you'd have to step down to knock Trump off of his position. There's no greater calling on a man's life than that of being a pastor. I believe that in my heart. You said, but there's other honorable positions, and there's a lot of honorable things that you could do. I hold the title of an honorable postmaster. But let me tell you, there's nothing honorable about being a postmaster. Anything that would be more honorable about being a judge or anything else. But I'm telling you, bless God, to have the call of God on your life, to preach His Word, and to be called one of His pastors. I mean, that's a unique position. That's the only position in the Bible that talks about being called by God. I mean, you say, what about those deacons? Bless God, they're called by the church. The Bible said that the murmuring that came together between the Grecians and the Hebrews, they said, look you out. In other words, for the church to look out and find seven men of good report and honest faith and all that. You know that story. But anyway, it's God that calls the man to preach. And it is God that places him in the gospel ministry. The church calls the deacons, but God sets the pastors. He said, I will give you pastors after mine own heart. And he's doing that right now unto Yadkin Valley Baptist Church whenever he sets you up to become their pastor, as he's already done. The leading going that way. Brother Scott, Yadkin Valley, where are you at? You're mostly right in here. Where are y'all at? Back here? This is mostly family, I guess, over here. But over here, I'm telling you, this man of God, whenever he come up there, I think that, if I'm not sorely mistaken, he said, I'll come on a contingency, maybe for about, 90 days or something like that. And that's all well and good. I did the same thing when I came here. I felt like maybe it'd be a little proving ground. They'd get to know me and I'd get to know them. But let me tell you, the day I come in the parking lot, I mean, when that red carpet of welcome was rolled out and Calvary started loving on me, it didn't take me about 10 minutes to know I was home. And bless God, I talked to Brother Scott right after he got up there. And I said, Brother Scott, I said, they've called you back up there a couple different times. And then one of your deacons called me and talking to me about Brother Scott, just as his pastor unto your church. And I told him what I knew about Brother Scott. And then I asked Brother Scott, I said, Brother, they've called you back up there again. I said, are you starting to feel anything? And he said, Brother, he said, it feels different. Let me tell you, that difference that he was feeling was that tug of God on his life to become your pastor. And then I asked him about that. And he said, they're going to vote on me for a 90-day trial period. And I said, all right, brother, we'll be praying. And I don't even think y'all waited 90 days. What were you up there, about 30? And then Scott said, I'm home. And that's what the relationship will become between you at Yadkin Valley and Brother Scott and Miss Lita. And y'all are getting a package deal. You better take Miss Lita with Brother Scott. Love on her and love on him. But anyway, he's got the charge. Brother Larry's got the charge to you, the church. But I'm going to preach an ordination charge to Brother Scott. And as I said, you'd have to step down from the position of pastor to become a county commissioner, to become a governor, to become anything else. You'd have to step down because God is setting you up to be one of His servants. And that's an honorable thing, Brother Scott. And I hope that you'll take that charge won't take that charge lightly, and that you'll honor that. And like I said, my charges are going to be simple. Now, we will stand to give reverence for the first reading, and then I won't have you stand for every other one. But in the book of Mark, in chapter number 12, I would invite you, if you will, to give reverence in the reading of God's Word, and we'll try to do it responsibly. We'll pick up the reading in the book of Mark, chapter number 12, and then we'll start out in verse number 28. And everybody found their place, say amen. And the Bible said, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And then Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now I want you to expressly listen to this next verse, because the first charge that I would give to this candidate as a pastor is found in this verse, and it's namely this. this. You better love God first. And I mean, you're going to love God, but you better love him preeminent above everything else. You got to love him above mom and daddy. You got to love him above Miss Lita. You got to love him above Miss Haley. You got to love God first. And here it is in this verse of scripture. The Bible said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You may be seated. And if I was a charging you tonight, Brother Scott, according to the word of God, I'd say you better love God first. I mean, spend time with God. Get along with God, because those people are going to come in Sunday morning after Sunday night after Wednesday night. And bless God, they're going to be coming in. And some of them have been so beat down by this world. I mean, Brother Scott, the world as we know it, Miss Lita, it's mean, it's nasty, it's cruel. The world does not like you as a Christian. It despises you. This world, Brother Kenny, it despises me because I am a pastor. The gospel that I preach, it hairlets demons all over hell. And everywhere else, it just rubs people the wrong way. And bless God, when you say that I am the pastor of Yadkin Valley Baptist Church, I'm telling you what, Satan's going to put a bullseye right on your heart about that big around. And let me tell you, those people are going to be looking to you for holiness and godliness, for direction, for unction, for holiness. And they're coming into you because, like the Bible said, and we'll get there just a little bit, they're coming in for spiritual food. They're coming in. You don't beat the sheep, bless God. The Bible said to feed the flock. And I'm going to tell you right now, bless God, it's a holy calling on your life. But you cannot feed sheep. You cannot give them something that you don't first possess for yourself.
Amen.
You can't give it away if you don't have it. There was a lame man laid at the gate called Beautiful, Brother Woody. What happened to that man? He was out there begging some change. That's all he wanted was just a few coins, maybe to buy him the next meal. And the Bible said that Peter and John went up to that temple and fixing their eyes on that man, they looked right at him. And him supposing he might get a piece of coin or a piece of change, some home. He looked at them and he was asking and begging. But Brother Pastor, they said, we don't have what you want. He said, we don't have what you want. We're empty pockets right now. Silver and gold. Old have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And what did he give? They gave away Jesus. Bless God. That's what we got to be giving away. That's the only thing I have to give. And that's what you're going to give those people. Every service you come in. I don't care if you relinquish the pulpit to another preacher because it's the revival week. It still falls on you to make sure that the right man's there during revival week. It all hinges upon you. That church will rise and fall with its leader.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, Brother Pastor, when that mantle above 10 years ago was passed between you and I, I'm telling you what, I felt like I felt lower than a rattlesnake in a wagon wheel rut. I felt that low to be walking in behind your stature and where you've walked and where you've ministered and where you served. And if you'll remember, that very first service was about the passing of the mantle between Elijah and Elisha. And brother, I'm telling you what, I know Elisha, bless God. And whenever you got up here and you preached last week, bless God, it just did my heart good to see a soul saved. But one thing he said that his prayer always is, God, just keep your hand upon Calvary. Don't let nothing hurt Calvary. And bless God, those people that feel the same way. There's a Robert Harless out there somewhere that doesn't want Yadkin Valley to be harmed. And whenever he puts that charge of God on your life and God comes down on you in the Holy Spirit, he's putting that charge on you to protect that little flock, to feed that little flock, to look out after that little flock. When you see them isms and schisms and all those things come in, bless God, you better be ready. But the first charge I would give you is to love God. That verse of scripture says to love him, but don't just love him. Love him with everything that's in you, every moral fiber in your body, who you are. It ought to be all about God. I'm telling you what, Brother Scott, whenever you go up there and become their pastor, as you already are there, Mr. Scott, let me tell you what, there's going to be people that'll criticize you, they'll critique you for everything you do, and there'll be some in the community that wonder, why in the world are they doing that? And they'll look at your deacons and they'll say, why in the world are y'all letting him do that? First off, you ain't his boss. God is. God's sending him up there. And there'll be people that say, why in the world are they doing that up there at Yadkin Valley?
Bless you, Lord.
You're going to hear words like this. We ain't never done it like that before. Well, when one pastor steps back and another one steps in, it's inevitable.
Yes.
There's going to be some changes. And if that wasn't so, Brother Woody, God would have just left the same man in the same position.
Yes.
I want you to see something, and you don't have to turn there, but you can if you would like to. I don't have to tell Yadkin Valley that Brother Scott's kind of bold in his faith. He doesn't shy away from the gospel.
Amen.
I mean, if God gives it to him, he's bold enough to call it what it is. He doesn't have to tiptoe around saying, well, now you folks shouldn't be cohabitating up there. Where's my deacons up there? Where's Robbie at? Robbie, does he say, y'all shouldn't be cohabitating? No, bless God. If Brother Scott, I know him well enough. He said, bless God, shacking up is a sin. That's fornication. Yes. And if you're married, it's adultery. He ain't going to be up there saying, now listen, you folks shouldn't be living in those alternative lifestyles. Yes. He's going to say, no, sodomy is a sin unto God. And bless God, you ought not be doing that because that is a wicked abomination in the sight of God. And cities have been destroyed because of that. Don't tiptoe around it, Brother Scott, but preach it. But you can't do that if you've not been with God. Because if you've not been with God, it's going to be Scott. And this is going to come out very quick. Scott's mad at us tonight. Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 4, in verse number 13, I'm talking about these men like Peter, James, John. They were so bold in their faith.
Yes, right.
They were just plowing up everybody's taters. They didn't care who it was, Brother Chris. Even Stephen, we could get over there in just a little bit. Kippy Stephen was telling them, the Bible said it pricked their heart. It cut them right to who they were in that they stoned him to death. They couldn't take it. The Bible says that when they saw the boldness, and I want you to have boldness, Brother Scott. Don't go up there and get lily livered on us and start wearing Lita's bloomers. That ain't going to work. If you change over to silk and satin and then you water down the word of God, you compromise and change it. Bless God, you're not going to help the people. But how are you going to give them God? How are you going to give them God if you don't have God? You've not been with God. How are you going to do that? You can't. Here you go. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and the people perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. I mean, that's what people will say about you. He's an ignorant and unlearned man. Why, bless God, he doesn't even have a PhD. He's not been to Fruitland, or he's not been to Crown, or he's not been to Tennessee Temple or Liberty University. Why, he's not even been here and there. Bless God, just be with Jesus.
Amen, brother.
Brother Pastor, how many degrees you got behind your name?
Amen.
How many post hole diggers?
That's it, brother.
That's about what we need.
Amen.
Get in there and dig a little bit.
Amen,
but when it said that they saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. What were they marveling at, Brother Pastor? What was their marvel? What was their wonder? Why were they so amazed? Why were they marveling? The Bible says that they marveled and they took knowledge of this one fact. And I want you to see this, that they had been with Jesus. Now that's what I'm saying. The first charge is get along with God. And I don't care if you have to go on a mountain or in a valley or in a hayfield or running your beagles or whether you're going fishing or hunting. Get along with God and spend some time with God, because it's the time with God that's going to strengthen you to help them. My first charge is just love God. When you fall in love with God beyond where you're at now, if that's even humanly possible, when you get closer to God, I tell you what, those people will get closer with you. She'll love you more for that.
Yes.
You got a good wife beside you. And I've watched you, Miss Lita. You just quietly come in and you sit beside your husband. Have y'all watched my wife? I've watched you, sweetie. Never says anything. Not disturbing the peace and not doing anything. Just quietly sitting behind your husband serving. I'm telling you what, there's a fine line between the Betty Cheeks. There's a fine line between those quiet little women just sitting there quietly serving like mine and these others are, and like yours did, and those that's running around all boisterous and loud and causing a stink and stirring up stink and writing their pastor's messages and always causing some stink. Brother Tim, that messes up the whole church. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Are y'all all right? Everybody all right? The first charge is that, Brother Scott, you better love God more than you love anything else. The Bible said you got to hate your mom and your daddy. Now, don't you get that out of context. That's what it says. Is that the word, Brother Pastor? Yes, it is. You got to love God above everything else. That's the first charge. The second one, if you want to turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 119, the first charge is just love God. The second charge is namely this. And Brother Jamie, I apologize to you, Brother Pastor. When we ordained him just a few months ago, we did not give him everything that we were supposed to give him. We've got an old leather-bound King James Bible here that we will present to Brother Scott in just a little while. Guess what? I didn't give you yours. And had I known you'd have been here, we could have just got you up here. But the first charge was this, Brother Scott, to love God. The second charge I give you is to love His Word.
Amen.
I mean, fall in love with this blessed book. Why would you? You said, preacher, why would you tell him to love the Word? Because the Bible said that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you'll fall in love with God, you will love His Word because He is the Word.
Amen.
So fall in love with the Word of God. We're in the 119th division of Psalms with the Lord as my helper here just for a minute. In verse number 97, he said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through my commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for they testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for they have taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I bless God. You say, what's that all about? Bless God, is falling in love with His word. I'm going to go over here to the book of Job, but I want you to see this. Somebody else loved the word of God. That man by the name of Job. You said Job got pretty low, didn't he, preacher? Yeah, he got pretty low, but bless God, I want you to see what he said. He said, thou knowest the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps in his way, have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, bless God, love God and love Him first with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and everything within you. And then, bless God, love His Word.
Amen.
Man, if you'll fall in love with that Word, brother, that Word will change you. It'll change you. It's dynamic. It's a living Word of God. I know your pastor used to be my pastor's pastor. Brother Jack Osborne used to go down to Cricket, and he used to be Brother Dean, one of his little mentors, a mentee situation. He might have been to me the relationship you and I will have as we grow older together in the ministry. But I remember this one thing. Brother Jack one time said that some of his family saw that little old tattered Bible that he was carrying. I mean, the pages falling out of it and the covers held together with duct tape and glue and everything else. Probably looked about like the one I'm carrying. And you say, well, get you a new one, preacher. I got a bunch of Bible, but there's one, that's something special about that one. But anyway, and they asked him, said, Brother Jack, I guess that's the one you'll be buried with. And Brother Jack, in his wisdom, you know what he said, Brother Pastor? He said, no, no, no. Hey, and he used to clap. He said, that's Brother Jack used to go. He said, no, 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 no. He said, you don't bury something that's alive. And bless God, that's the living Word of God. You don't bury something that's alive. But if you love God, you will love His Word. You men of God, you studiers of the Word, and when you get one of them nuggets roll out and you laugh, brother, is that not something? You just want to share that thing with everybody. Brother Kenny, when you get a hold of one, I mean, that thing is a mine of information. That thing is just, it's a mine of beauty and wonder and splendor and mystery. This thing is a mine of wealth of knowledge about God Himself, His character, His attributes, His love, His mercy, His humanity. Everything about God is found in here. And bless God, once in a while when you go mining, you'll roll up a nugget.
Yes.
And man, when you get a hold of one of them, you can't get it out fast enough. As a preacher, God help you if you ever do this. His wife used to work for me. She asked me, she says, can I ask you a question? I said, well, sure. I was her supervisor. Why couldn't she ask me a question? How did I know what she's getting ready to ask me was this? Does your wife ever write your messages? I looked at her, Brother Pastor, like she fell off of a nut truck. Honestly, I said, what? She says, does your wife ever write your messages? I said, no, and never has and never will. And she said, well, I write all my husband's. She said, even though he graduated from Fruitland, I write them all. Now, can y'all see me slowing down long enough to read a message that I run over to Cindy and say, Cindy, what's this word? Cindy, help me. I can't read your writing. That's just plumb foolish. It would never happen. I'm sure it won't happen on your account. But how are you going to get in there and learn the Word of God if you don't spend some time in it? Spend some time in His Word. Love God and love His Word. That's what I'm challenging you on, to love Him, Brother Scott. Love His Word. Once you love that Word above your necessary food, I'm telling you, once in a while, brother, you'll chew off something. Man, that thing will be so sweet in the mouth. But Scott, it's like it said in the Scripture, sweet as honeycomb. Yeah. But you know what happened, Brother Pastor? You start digesting, and that thing get down there in your belly. Yeah. You know what will happen to it, brother? That sweetness of the honeycomb starts to turn into bitterness of the belly. Why? Because it says you got to love your enemies and pray for them to despitefully use you. I'm telling you, Brother Pat, that's a hard thing to do, especially somebody that does not like you and will tell you quickly to your face that they don't. That gets bitter in the belly. It sounds good rolling off your tongue. Now I got to love them that hate me. I got to pray for them that despitefully use me, brother, when you start putting that into action. Oh, man, that thing starts getting a little uneasy in my belly. The last charge that I'm going to give you tonight, turn with me, if you will, back over to the book of 1 Peter. Told you I wouldn't be long. 1 Peter, chapter number 5. First charge is to love God, Brother Scott. The second charge is to love His Word. You, in that preeminence, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things. Yeah. That preeminence will bring in what you get from studying His Word, which is the power. It will. It'll perfectly flow together. Spending time with God, I'm telling you what, He'll start revealing things to you. There's times in here, I'm sure that people would come up and say, how come somebody told you about what I did? Now, ain't nobody had to tell me about what you did. The Holy Spirit of God revealed it and unveiled it. As He unveiled it, I preached it. Next thing I know, you got convicted. Maybe even got something fixed that was broke in your life. Book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom I'm also an elder. Brother Scott, I can say that. The elders which are among you, whom I am also an elder. The next charge is this. Don't just love God. And don't just love His Word. But love His church.
Amen.
Love His people, Brother Scott. He's give you a unique opportunity to influence kids. Can y'all imagine the kids that grew up under Miss Kayla? I probably the only pastor you ever knew was right there and now right here. And you got both of us right here tonight under one service, under one roof. There's kids that will be born into that church up there. And they're going to be looking. I see Sadie, or Sophie. Sadie can't run yet. She looks like a little busted can of biscuits, but Sadie, I'm telling you, that youngin', have you seen her lately? I tried to pick her up one day and hurt my back. But little Sophie, Brother Scott, will come running up to me. Little Elena and Connor and little Bella and these little kids, little Eli and all them kids, little Samuel comes up and salutes me. Man, them kids are precious. And them little van kids, they come running up to you. And I'm telling you what, Brother Woody, they're looking unto me. And you know what happens? Bless God, if I don't spend a little time with God, if I don't spend a little time in His Word, and I don't love the people, bless God, I'm telling you what will happen. Them kids will pick it up. Kids are honest. They will pick that up if you love them or not. And they'll, if you look at them and you say, get away from me, you little fungus. Get away from me. If you treat them that way, they'll pick up on it whether or not you love them. And you won't love them if you've not been with God and don't love His Word.
Amen.
The Bible said it'd be better for you and be better for me that a millstone be hung about our neck and us be cast into the depths of the sea than to offend one of His little children. So love God, love His Word, and then love His people. Here it says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now I want you to hear this, Brother Scott. He said, feed the flock.
Amen.
It doesn't say shear the sheep, beat the sheep, but I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Pastor, how many times have you had to shear the sheep? Sheep by nature have no defense mechanism. They'll get out there in the craggy cliffs and the rocks and the hard places and start just, man, they'll just start bawling and crying. And the shepherd will take that long staff and he'll take that hooked end of it. He'll reach in there and get them and pull them out. But they get so much of that fecal matter and the bramble and the bulrushes and the cuckleburs and the pestilence, the ticks and the fleas and all those things will get in their wool. And once in a while, that old shepherd, Brother Woody, he'll take them back to the barn. And he'll take those clippers and them grooming, and he'll shear them things. He doesn't skin them. You don't skin them but one time. They ain't coming back after that. And you can't shear them every time that they come to eat, or they'll quit coming to eat. The Bible says to feed them. Every single day we got to feed them. Every single service you got to feed them. And here's what it says. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Here's what it says, taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Bless God, did you hear that? Neither as being lords over God's heritage. That is God's heritage. He just lets you be in charge of them for a little while. And same for you, Brother Pastor. Same for me.
Amen, Brother Pastor.
You're just over them. And here's what it says, servant. It doesn't say example. If you look at the scripture, it says servant as an ensample. Why? You got to look from the inside out. You're being an ensample unto that flock because they're looking to you. They're trying to see if what you got's true, what you got's real. They can find anybody out here. Brother Pastor preached about that last week. They can find the weak link out here somewhere. They'll find somebody that's strayed from the wayside. They'll find somebody that's now sitting down over not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And they'll fixate on that, and they'll say, well, if that's the way they are, I'm all right. Yes. Bless God, you're the standard bearer. You're the pastor. You don't have to set that standard. Set the bar high. Here's what it says. It says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples unto the flock. And here's the beauty, Brother Scott. As a crown that you and I, pastors can get that they won't have access to. This is a crown for you as a soul winner. This is a crown for you as a pastor, my friend. Oh, bless God, we can all inherit some of those crowns. The crown of life, bless God, and thank the Lord for the crown of life, Brother Kenny. But here's what it says. He said, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So in my charge tonight, Brother Scott, and I'm just about done to that point that I believe we can close my portion down. Just feed the flock. I'm going to give you one warning out of the book of Jeremiah. I didn't know we were going to go here, but I'm going to. It wasn't in my notes and everything. I don't even know where Jeremiah is at. Is that any older than the new? Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah chapter number 23. If you'll love God and love His word and love His people, you will never be considered as a brutish pastor.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not going to call you out and call you names, tell you you're lost and you're saved and you're lost and you're saved. That's not my job. Here's what it says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 23, woe. When you see woe, that means you better pay attention right here. Something's coming. It says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy this and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. It's a dangerous thing to be a scatterer of sheep. Therefore saith the Lord of God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. You've scattered my flock and have driven them away. You have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Brother Pastor stood back there in the ordination, talked about pastors that one time held this old banner of grace high. They did run well. I'm talking about they're like Demas. I mean, bless God, Paul said, Demas, he was with me through thick and thin. Demas loved me. Demas was with me. But then there's a little passage of scripture, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world more so than the love of God. And think about what it says right here. He said, if you do that, I will visit on you the evil of your doings. He said he could name three or four that was in a premature grave simply because of the fact that they took this old banner. They took the ordination. They took the call of God on their life and they profaned it. They cast their pearl before swine. And look what happens. He says, I will gather that remnant together from all the countries whither I've driven them and will bring them again to the folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And then I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and which say that they shall fear no more, neither be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Just love the people.
Amen.
Just love on them. Don't be brutish toward them. Just love on them. Brother Larry, come on. We're going to make a quick change over here. I'm going to give him this microphone. But Yadkin Valley, he's got the church to you.
we'll do the same thing for you. God bless you. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
All right. Jeremiah chapter number 3. Let's find your place. Let's stand together. Reverence to reading of God's word. Amen. To Brother Scott, Sister Scott, Miss Lita, I'm excited for y'all. I thank God for it. To Yakin Valley, I'm excited for you too because I know what you're getting. Amen. And I thank God for it. Thank God for Brother Scott and his stand. All the questions we talked to him back in the presbytery, it wasn't nothing that we didn't already know. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the man that lets you know whose side he's on. And I'm not preaching the charge to him, but there's no doubt in my mind Scott's going to let you know whose side he's on. I like that. And I thank God for it. And you ought to want that in a pastor. You ought to require that in a pastor. Amen. And I'll give you the challenge from the Word of God tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 3, verse number 14, the Bible said, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I'll bring you to Zion." Verse 15, the Bible said, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." You may be seated tonight. And the challenge that I have to the church tonight is based off verse number 15 and God's promise of sending pastors. And I thank God that God had promised to send pastors. I thank God that He's still sending pastors. Amen. I know some people get into it for a career and some people are colleged in, but I'm glad there's still people that are called by God. Amen. And I thank God for it. That's what you want and that's what you need. That's what God's hand is upon, those that are called by God and placed by God. And as a promise here we found in the scriptures, God's promise of a pastor, and we see it defined in three different things that we'll see out of this verse, and we'll build a charge to the church off of this verse. And He said here, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, we shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." There's three things that we see inside this verse. And the charge to you tonight will come out of these three things we find in the verse here. I'm going to give you the three things and then we'll build a scripture off of them. The first thing we see is the placement of a pastor when He said, "I will give you." The pastor is a gift from God. Well, we ought to understand that and get a hold of that. If you've ever been in a church that didn't have a pastor, you'd appreciate when God gives you one. Now, I've been in churches that we had preachers, and they carried the title of a pastor. But I tell you, I had a few preachers before I had a pastor. There's a difference between the two. Brother Scott, I'm not preaching the charge of you, but be a pastor. We need preaching, but pastor shows the love to having a relationship with the people. He can't have a relationship with you and be your pastor if you won't love on him and accept what God has given you through him. First thing you need to see, the placement of a pastor, they're a gift from God. Then you need to see the position of a pastor. He said, "I will give you a pastor according to my heart." That means that they're dear to the heart of God. Amen. If you don't get a hold of that, you ain't going to like none of the rest of this tonight. Amen. But they're a gift from God. And because they're a gift from God, from His heart, they are dear to His heart. And then the next thing that we see in the verse of Scripture, He said, "which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And you see here the purpose of a pastor. They are to feed you from God's Word. He's not there just to be your buddy. He's not there just to be your friend. He'll be a friend to you. He'll be a buddy to you. But He's there to feed you from the Word of God. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, He's there to feed you from the Word of God. You ought to appreciate that. If you had a man of God that wouldn't feed you the truth and wouldn't give you things in the Word of God, you'd starve to death spiritually. Amen. And God puts these people in our pathway. And I thank God for my pastor. Brother Feldman was my pastor. Brother Mark is my pastor. Both of these are pastors. And I thank God for the men that God has placed in my life. And I thank God for that. So let's look at these three things tonight. The placement of a pastor, the position of a pastor, and the purpose of a pastor. Looking at the first one, the placement of a pastor, flip over to Matthew chapter number 9. We'll see the very reason that God even placed pastors in our life, in our church, in our lives, in our hearts was found in Matthew chapter number 9. And if you remember back in Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 14, it talked about how Israel was scattered and it was going here and there and they had backslid and got away from it. And the position of a pastor is to keep us from doing these things in our life. Everybody needs a pastor. Even a pastor needs a pastor to keep us in check and keep us where God would have us to be. God ordained that. Amen. Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 35, and the Bible said, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Look at verse 36, he said, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." The pastors are a gift from God. He placed them in our lap because of what the Bible said was taking place here in verse number 36. They had fainted. That's not a physical fainting. That's a spiritual fainting from a lack of the Word of God. You ought to realize that the pastor, you have voted. You have said, Scott is God's man that God wants in that church. You got to realize if you said that and you believe that, then you got to realize he's God's man. I ain't trying to make you mad tonight, but I'll be honest with you. I don't know what your policy is and how y'all do things up there at Yakin Valley. I don't know what you do on the voting every year. I know some churches vote on the man of God every year. They're going to try to decide whether he's the man of God or not every year, and they tie people's hands by doing that. So I don't know. I hadn't asked God. I didn't ask the church what the policy is. But my charge to you is, if you believe in voting on the man of God every year, I challenge you and charge you to show me that in the Bible.
Amen.
You can find more of a charge in the Bible to vote on the deacons every year than you can the man of God. A lot of times what they want to do is try to tie his hands. You ought to go in there, and you know that God sent you there, brother. I heard we was at a mission conference out in Nebraska, and it was a brother Ken Trivett from the Indian Reservation. He was talking about the Indian tribe that he preached to. He said when they went into battle, there was one man was the lead man. He would ride in on a horse with a spear in his hand and a big, long, flowing garment behind him. It was so long it would even flow behind the horse. And he would lead the charge into the battle. He would ride out to the opposing force, and he would jump off that horse, and the first thing he'd do was cut that horse's throat. Then he would take that spear and he would run it down in that long flowing garment. And what he was saying when he did that, he's cutting a horse's throat. That means I'm not riding back out here, win, lose, or draw, if I die or whatever. I'm at the place I'm supposed to be at, and it's worth fighting over, and there's no time for me to run. You ought to want that out of a man of God. That when God places them in there, and we see that from the Word of God, they are a gift from God. The Bible said there was two reasons here, three different reasons here. He said when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. It stirred God's heart, and God gave us a gift called a pastor. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. And fainting is not from a lack of physical food. Here it's a reference to the spiritual food. They were starving to death. They were so weak. There's so many weak Christians out here today because men of God won't stand in the pulpit and preach the truth. But I assure you, you're not getting a Christian coward, amen? So if you're going to vote on him every year, I guarantee you in 1 year he'll make you mad. He's going to preach something you don't like, amen? Just get over it and realize it comes from God to help you. That don't give us an excuse to be mean to the sheep either. But sometimes we have to say things that people don't like. And then look what it said here. And we're scattered abroad. God gives us pastors to keep us from running all over the place. Right. One of the end time prophecies and warnings was given to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 3. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And I've preached for years on these itching ears, and I skipped over the part about the heap. They will heap to themselves teachers. You know what a heap is? It's a pile of them. And I thank God, I don't know a whole lot about the church, but from what I gleaned back here today, y'all not been 5, 6, 7, 10 years without a pastor. I'm going to bring this one in, that one in, this one in, that one in. That creates a whole lot of confusion.
Amen.
And God give us pastors to be in the church, to feed the flock, that we wouldn't have to jump from one church to another and hop from here to there. And the heaping is just a pile of teachers and a pile of preachers because you don't want to commit. You don't want to be in there. He's God's man. You're in the church. You ought to belong to the church. You ought to join the church and back the man of God. And don't jump from one church to another. He made me mad here, so I go over here. Well, if you go over here, he's going to make you mad too if he's a man of God. So I'm going to hop over here and go to this church over here. And you're heaping yourself all these different people because you don't want one man to tell you what to do. Can I tell you, if God placed that man there, and there's no doubt in my heart, I wouldn't be standing here today that God has placed him there. You want him to tell you what to do from the Word of God because the Holy Spirit's speaking through him. They were a gift from God. That's the placement of a pastor. Keeps you from being scattered. Amen. He's an under-shepherd.
Yes, sir.
You need a pastor.
Yes.
Somebody can feed you to keep you from fainting. to keep you from scattering. Not only, we see the placement of a pastor as a gift from God. We see the position of a pastor being near to the heart of God. Look over 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Then back up to 1 Corinthians. My wife wrote my notes wrong, didn't she? I'm just kidding. Never heard of that in my life till a pastor mentioned that. That's crazy. That's why you want a pastor. You don't want a puppet. You want a puppet. Mama called, Papa sent, and all that mess. What you need is a man of God. You got a man of God, and I thank God for it. I don't expect him to back down, amen. By expecting to preach in love.
Amen.
You got to realize that pastor, the position of a pastor, they're near to, if they was given out of God's compassion, then they must be near to the heart of God.
That's right.
And anything that's near to the heart of God, if your heart is right with God, it ought to be near and dear to your heart.
Amen.
Something that God loves, you ought to love. Something that God hates, you ought to hate.
Amen.
And we already seen in the scripture that God loves the pastors. God loves them. So you don't want to be that one with your footprint on his back. They told me whenever I pastored, said, the first one to take you out to supper is the first one to have you for lunch. Boy, they hit that nail on the head. You don't want to be that man. You don't want to be that woman. Come in the house of God, listen to the preacher preach, go home and throw off on him. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he acted like that. Who's he think he is? I'll tell you what, and his wife, my goodness, I tell you what, she just thinks she's something else. She's some kind of pastor, blah, 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 blah. And then you can't figure out why your children's dying and going to hell because they won't go to the house of God. Maybe they've been hearing what you said around the supper table. You want to know one of my pet peeves is go to somewhere to eat after church and you see people sitting around the restaurant running their mouth about the preacher, running their mouth about the church, and then they go invite somebody to come. They're near to the heart of God. They're near to the heart of God. If you get a hold of that, this next part's going to be real easy. But if you don't get a hold of it, you ain't going to like none of this next part. But I promise you, I am still in the Word of God today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 6. The Bible said, or I only and Barnabas have we not power to forbear working. Who goeth to warfare at any time at his own charges? Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Like I said, second, make sure everybody's on the same page. And look what the Bible said here. He's saying you don't go to a warfare on your own charges. What does that mean? He's near. He's a gift from God. He's near to the heart of God. He's dear to the heart of God. He should be dear to your heart. And y'all are take care of the man of God.
Amen.
How many in here have been in the military? When you went, did you take your own Jeep? If you wasn't in the Civil War, you didn't carry your own gun either. And it's the same thing, the man of God. If he's dear to the heart of God, you ought to love him. You ought to take care of the man of God. I'm talking about providing for him financially. I'm talking about taking care of the needs that he has. He'll have needs now that he didn't have before he became your pastor. And it's your responsibility to help him with those needs as best you can. I know some churches can do some, and some churches can do a whole lot more and different things. I understand that, and God understands that. But what it gets down to, do you do what you can do?
Amen.
I know men of God that stand and preach, and the church don't even give them enough gas money to get them back and forth to church for a whole month.
You're right.
Shame on you.
Come on.
Take care of the man of God. He's dear to the heart of God.
Amen.
He said, who planteth a vineyard eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk thereof? He said, say I these things as a man, or not the law the same also? Look at verse number 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or he said, or saith he altogether, for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. He that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his hope. If we have sown into you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap of your carnal thing? That means you ought to take care of the man of God. He has needs. You say, well, if he'll come and tell us what our needs are, maybe as a man of God, see, I could preach this, that he would have a little bit of trouble preaching what I'm preaching today, but God put me here, and I thank God he did. This man of God done the same thing for me, preached the truth and the word of God, and I'll do the same thing for you. You got to take care. You say, how do I know if he has a need? Well, you need a new suit sometimes. So does he. When I'm talking about taking care of the man of God, I'm talking about taking care of his family as well. You like to get a new dress? How many ladies like to get a new dress every once in a while? Can I let you in on a secret? So does his wife.
Yeah.
Does it take money for gas in your car? So does he. He can't roll up to the gas station and say, "Praise the Lord, I'm a pastor of Yakin Valley Baptist Church. Hallelujah," and drive off. He'll join my church. I preach in prison. Well, my fellow missionaries, you said that car won't run off. God bless you. God bless you, preacher. That's good. God will bless him, but God will bless you if you'll take care of him. He didn't tell me to preach this. He sure didn't tell me I couldn't preach it. I'm preaching anyway. It's the truth of the Word of God. You ought to take care of the man of God. He said, if others be partaker, obvious in verse 12, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. I don't mean that you should worship your pastor, but shall respect. Heard of a church one time, they would carry their pastor in on some kind of a chair. I don't know where it is on the whole lot, but I heard of, they would bring, I'm not telling you, y'all carry the man of God in on a chair. I'm going to take a couple big ones there, bro. I love you, brother. Yeah, it'd be good to carry some of them out on a rail, wouldn't it? But I'm talking about y'all to love your pastor and take care of him. As God provides through you, provide for your pastor. He said, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? They which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so, look in verse 14. Even so, get this now. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel.
Yeah.
Is that just something you preachers make up? We all take care of one another just so you can kind of be in the buddy club and look at. No, it's ordained by God that you should take care of the man of God and the needs that he has to do the office of the pastor that God has placed him in. It's ordained of God. If you don't like it, take it up with God. I promise you when we stand before God, we're going to give an account for how we've took care of our pastor. Brother Scott, that church wants to do something for you, that don't make you a beggar. That don't make you a preacher for money. Hear that stuff, Father? He's just preaching for money. It takes money to live. Car don't run off. God bless you.
Amen, brother.
Soup store don't take. Hallelujah. How do I know when he needs a vacation? When do you need a vacation? If you need a vacation, make sure your pastor's got one. Make sure his wife's took care of. Make sure his family's took care of. Amen. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
It's ordained to God. I'm still in the Word of God.
Good preaching, buddy.
They're a gift from God. They're near to the heart of God. And then we'll look at the last one, the purpose of a pastor. The purpose of a pastor is to feed you from God's Word. Look over in Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. If the purpose of a pastor is to feed you, that's what he's got to do. He will give an account to God for whether or not he does it. I heard this thing something wrote the other day. This guy wrote about his past, about pastors in general. And I liked the guy, but it made me mad what he put. He said, if your pastor won't go with you on soul winning vacation, on soul winning visitation, you ought to get rid of him. He ain't right with God.
God help
us. Well, I challenge him to show me in the Word of God where that's at as well. If your pastor has time, I know our pastor sometimes does have time to go on visitation, and he chooses to go on visitation. Glory to God, thank God for it. But that's not the purpose of a pastor.
Amen.
Sheep beget sheep. Sheep beget, that means you are to bring them in, knowing that, hey, I just know if they're lost, if I can get them in there, let them listen to my preacher one time. I got so much confidence on the call of God in his life. I just know if I get them in there, they're going to get saved. And you go and get them and bring them in.
Amen.
He'll be able to do some of that along the way. But his main purpose is to feed you from the Word of God.
Amen.
Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 1. The Bible said, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmur of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, is it not reason we should leave the Word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. The waiting on the table, some of these little side things where we want to run the pastor over here and run him over here and run him over there and run him over there. He's supposed to be staying in the Word of God, getting ready to feed your soul.
Yes, yes, yes.
We run him around all over the place and then wonder why. I just don't like what he's feeding.
Come on.
Maybe you had him so busy. He needs time to spend time in the Word of God.
Amen.
And get a hold of the Word of God. There's usually two reasons when you don't like to eat what the man of God's preaching. What he's feeding. There's usually two reasons. You ain't coming hungry, or your taste buds have not matured. The older I get, things that I used to hate to eat, now I like them. Things I used to like back then. I told my wife, we were sitting in a hotel in Pennsylvania this week, and I said, I know how you know I'm getting old. I like Raisin Bran. I didn't like it before. So there's two things that make you not like what he's feeding. You're not coming hungry. You're filled up on the junk of the world. Or you're so immature that you don't want to eat what he's feeding you. But if the message comes from God, taste and see if it's good. The reason sometimes it tastes kind of bitter to us, it starts in our heart. That bitterness is in our heart. His position and his job. If you get a chance to go soul winning, y'all do it. But that's not his main purpose. His main purpose is to feed the flock from the word of God, to keep them from scattering. You can't tie his hands by all these things and say, I don't know why our preacher don't do more than what he's doing. You got him tied up in a ball to where he can't do the position that God's give him. God's promise of a pastor. He sent them to us. The placement was there as a gift from God. The position of the pastor, they're near to the heart of God. The purpose of the pastor is to feed you from God's word. And if you'll take these things to heart and apply them to your heart and your life, I promise you, God will bless you if you take care of the man of God. The church ain't going to, the power bill get turned off if you take care of the man of God. It ain't going to go bankrupt. It ain't going to go belly up. If you'll take care of the man of God, if you'll take care of him, God will take care of you. And if you treat him wrong and do him wrong, one day in heaven, you'll stand before Almighty God. Just like, I'm not telling you that just preaching to you today. If I do my pastor wrong, if I'm going around here talking about my pastor, throwing off on him, you ought to be the one. You ought to be the one. Somebody be scared to death to come to you and talk about your pastor.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I tell you what happened. If they keep coming around and telling you stuff about your pastor, I start checking to see if my heart was right. Somebody wants to come to me and throw off on my pastor, I'm thinking, what makes them think they can come tell me that?
Amen, brother.
Maybe I'm not portraying what I ought to in my heart and my life. Maybe I'm looking like a hypocrite. If you think you can come to me and throw off on Pastor Mark, it ain't going to work.
Yes.
If you're that one they always come to and criticize the preacher, check your heart. You're not portraying some things that you need to. That's a charge.
I'm switching over, Jesse, from this to the pulpit mic just for a second. Before we have Brother Scott and Miss Lee to come forward, and I do want you to come beside him. We're going to be laying hands on Brother Scott. There's one verse that I want to read. And it's to Yadkin Valley, and it's to you. It sums up everything that Brother Larry just preached and everything that I just preached. You love God, love his word, and love his people. Stay in there where God puts you, which is at Yadkin Valley, until he calls you away from that. And we've not got into that, whether they have an annual call or annual election. They don't have. You're shaking your head. No. God bless you, Yadkin Valley, for not putting a question mark around him being there every time you turn around. He's having to worry about preaching the wrong message and getting voted off the island. But let me say this. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, verse number 17, to the church it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Then to you, Brother Scott, this is why the Bible said they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not for grief, for that is unprofitable for you. He's going to give an account unto God. Every message he's ever preacher, you preach here for 40, almost 40 years. You're going to stand before God. If you preached it in anger and frustration, if you preached it out of fellowship or brokenhearted or ever how you preached it, you'll stand before God with that. And you will as well as I will, and you and any other man that ever preached. But the same as we will give an account unto God, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule, for they're watching for your souls. I'm telling you what, there's a lot of wishy-washy churches, a lot of flip-flops, a lot of junk going on.
Yes, yes.
Yakin Valley, you've got a good testimony in the community.
Yes.
I've heard nothing but good things out of the pastorate of Robert Harless and the work that's been going on up there over the years. I hope you'll guard that, and I hope you'll guard it as well. I'm asked Brother Scott and Miss Lita to come forward. Brother Scott, I need the ordained of God to come up. If you've got those deacons that maybe that were there on the presbytery, if you'd like to come forward, we're just going to meet right here at the front. Brother Kenny and Brother Larry, the ordained of God, y'all come on up here. You say, well, why do you lay hands on? Because that's what the Bible said do. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to honor God's word. And we've got Brother Pastor Feldman Cheek here, and he's going to be leading the ordination prayer. Listen, folks, these ordination services don't have to be wishy-washy. That's a good service. I love it. It spoke to my heart about some things tonight.
Yeah,
and it'll speak to your heart if only you will let it. Come on around here. Let's